must have known that I was going to be in pain today.
Oh.
Because you've got a hymn to start with that I love.
Oh.
To God be the glory.
Yes.
Over to you, too. Dear.
Oh, thank you. Well, before that, we have a birthday to celebrate.
Oh, yes.
So Bruce Barker has a birthday tomorrow. So we're going to sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Bruce. Happy birthday to you.
He doesn't like it, look. He don't like it. Oh, bless. But we enjoy. No, we'll wait a minute, Rita, for that one. So, good morning, everyone. And just so good to be here, always. Our message today, Bruce is going to be bringing on Jesus' conversation with the Samaritan woman, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And it just has God's grace shining right through it. And so we thought today we would start with, to God be the glory. But before we do that, let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for family. We thank you for friends. We thank you for birthdays. And we thank you for sunshine. Oh, Lord, so many blessings. So we thank you that we can be here this morning to worship you in spirit and in truth and see your wonderful message of grace. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So to God be the glory.
Great things he has done.
Better, Bruce? Yeah. Oh, and you, Deborah? Bless you. As we continue to praise Jesus, pray that all pains and aches and everything will leave us and we can just enjoy worshipping him. So we're going to sing. Praise him, praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. For our sins, he suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, of our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus, the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus, who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Amen.
I wonder if you have, in your past, delayed doing something and then found out you shouldn't have done. Because that's what happened to me. December, apparently, last, I received a new pair of glasses from Bill. Lovely case, lovely glasses, but I couldn't get on with them, so I didn't wear them. All the time from last December, I've not worn them. I've worn an old pair, which I've got on now. And somehow and some why, I found my way with Eunice to Brill's, and I said to them, look, these are useless. Anyway, it turns out that those glasses that I got last December, and I'm sure they must have told me, were what, Eunice? Eh? Sorry? Varifocal. That's right. And that's why I wasn't getting on with them. That's why I was seeing strange things in front of me. And I'm astonished at Brill's because not only did they help me considerably, but I had appointments that I hadn't made. They found time to bring in different professionals, one for the glasses, one for me and my sight, and seeing funny things. And I met some lovely people, and I will, in about a week's time, have a new pair of glasses. And they were, even these are not really good for reading. They're old, and that's what I found. You know, when I couldn't use the new ones, I just got hold of an old pair of glasses. So they needed to be much stronger. So don't delay. You know, I delayed from Christmas till yesterday before I got on with it and tackled the problem. So it's not a good thing to delay, then, folks. So still trying with the old glasses, but in a week's time I shall have new ones, and they're going to put lens in the ones that they gave me last December. So all I had to do was pay for new lenses. The Lord is good. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for the power of prayer and for the privilege it gives to us. For we are able to come to you at any time, and you are always ready to hear our prayer. May we desire to use prayer to strengthen our relationship with you, both as a church and as individuals. We bring our ministry to you. May we always seek to accept your leadership, and we thank you because you are our rock, our strength, our wisdom, and our guide. You are our God of love. In fact, of your love there is no equal. We pray that your presence and your love will reach all people, leaders, teachers, helpers, carers, and all people worldwide. May they be encouraged to listen to you, to learn all about you and your redeeming love. May we do all that we can to bring people to you, so that your kingdom will be extended and all the world will be filled with your love and peace. We think today of Stuart and Jean. We think of Helen. We think of John. We think of all people that we know who are not well. We think of Rita. Yes, Lord. There are so many people on our hearts and minds, and we bring them all to you. Finally, we bring to you those of our wider family who need special care at this time. Bless us in our ministry. Open many new doors so that we might be where you want us to be and doing what you want us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So we're going to sing I See the King of Glory. We haven't done it for a while, but we have done it before. And there's a wonderful bridge that says, heal my heart and make it clean. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. As I walk from earth into eternity.
Thank you.
Now we come to our reading, John 4. We're looking now at verses 1 to 26, and in the message we will look even at further verses. Thank you very much. Over to Deborah.
Jesus talks with a Samaritan woman. This is the reading this morning from John 4, verses 1 to 26. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? With Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you give this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "So," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," replied Jesus, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he."
So we're going to sing, "Filled with compassion for all creation, Jesus came into a world that was lost. There was but one way that he could save us, only through suffering, death on a cross."
Filled
learned a home truth yesterday, really, when I was in Bill's, because they said you don't need, you don't require the type of what was it? Varifocal, yes. You need glasses just for reading, from what you've told us. That's the only time you use glasses. I said, that's right. And as the conversation went on, I thought, all the new and large print that Eunice has been doing, I could have saved her. So I should have gone back to Brill's much earlier from December than I did in July. So apologies to my dear wife, because I realise... there we are. Right, so why did Jesus use this ministry with his meeting with the Samaritan woman? Well, the overall purpose, my friends, was to equip us how to minister. You see, look at the difference there was between the Pharisees and the Jews. That should never happen in a Christian group, should it? No. And we must learn from that, because of all the trouble that we will see happened between the Samaritans and the Jews. So, the purpose was to equip us to minister effectively with people who God brings into our lives. Let me say that again. His purpose was to equip us to minister effectively with people who God brings into our lives every day. So there's a challenge. Right, number one, we had this Jewish hatred of Samaritans, and it had been deep, historical, and religious. 750 years before Jesus' day, before Jesus came, it'd be good when I don't have to have so many. Good for Eunice, good for me. And it was back before the Assyrians invaded the northern section of Israel and deported the people that were living there. They left only a few poor Jews in the land. The Assyrians imported other conquered people and settled them in the former Jewish territory. The pagan, Jewish popularity intermarried with the Jewish people and produced a very mixed racial group called the Samaritans. So that's something for us to learn, isn't it? The Orthodox Jews in southern Palestine looked at the Samaritans as a corrupt people, and they took great pains to remain separate from them. It was the accepted custom that Jews and Samaritans would not drink from the same vessel. Number two, by asking for water, Jesus was deliberately crossing three cultural barriers. The first barrier was sexual. He talked to a woman Jewish men were advised never to talk to any women in public. The second barrier was racial. The woman was a Samaritan, Jesus was a Jew. And the third barrier was moral. The woman was living in an immoral relationship with a man to whom she was not married. Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus was willing to cross those barriers in order to reach a woman who, let's be honest, needed to believe in him. Number three, living water, normally referred to running water, such as would be found in a river or stream. It was apparently greatly preferred over still water, especially for ritual purification. So Jesus drew this image of living water from the Old Testament. You see, number four, Jesus' knowledge of the woman's past is another example of Jesus, of his supernatural insight into certain facts about other people. So we need to be careful, don't we? See, God knows all about us. Jesus saw Nathanael under a fig tree. Jesus knew the identity of his betrayer. Jesus knew that his friend Lazarus had died. Jesus predicted Peter's three denials. Jesus brings up this woman's past to demonstrate that he was much more than a Jewish stranger, and to make her need of life and transformation more obvious. And then number five, the proper place to worship was another issue that separated Jews and Samaritans. Because the Jews refused to let the Samaritans worship at the temple in Jerusalem, the Samaritans built their own temple on the mount. The Jews promptly tore down the rival temple, but they still worshipped on the mount itself. The hatred between Jews and Samaritans would surely only be resolved in God's new society. His new society, what was that? Well, we know what it was, surely. What it was going to be, and that is the church. The church that Jesus and his disciples brought about. So here, in this story of the disciples were surprised, very surprised, to find Jesus talking with this woman. But if we go further into the chapter that was read, we see that many of the disciples from that town believed because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I've ever done," she said. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with him, and he stayed two more days. And because of his words, many, many more became believers. It's wonderful. Because of his talk with that Samaritan woman, for which he'd been criticized, bringing people together that should never be brought together. But they said to the woman, "Do you know? Do you know? Because of his words, we've talked with him. And we no longer believe just because of what you've said. Now, we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Saviour of the world. Now that's fantastic, isn't it? Here is a woman, Samaria, who the Jews have no time for. Jesus came and talked to her. He knew her need. He talked to her. She wasn't really ready to accept what he was saying. She was going to wait for the so-called Messiah when he came. But that meeting with him brought about something she'd never expected, because she was talking to the very Messiah himself. And so she came to believe, and she told people, this man I met, yes, yes. And she talked about him, and many people believed also. But then the story finishes with this, when they said, many believers, you know, we've accepted, not just because of what you were saying, but because we heard him, we spoke to him, we met him, and we now know the truth. That surely was the beginning of a new society, a new church in the coming, because broken barriers had come apart. And many, many people from that time on were going to get rid of the barrier between people like Jews and Samaritans. And we need to thank God that the disciples did a lot to build unity among the people. And that was essential if the Church of God was to continue and to progress as we have seen it happen today. Praise God, because he knew what he was doing. Jesus wasn't just talking to this woman for her sake. He had many, many more people, many more nationalities in his mind when he broke down those barriers. So praise God for what he did. And now, while we're still together, I want to share something else with you. The elders had a meeting on Thursday evening, and this is something that I want to share with you, not about the meeting, but what really we all need to know. 2004, Eunice and I arrived in Devon. 2005, I met with the Reverend Jonathan Edwards. He was the Baptist superintendent for Devon. And he said he had a task and a job for me to join the Barton Baptist Church. Oh no, I said. Oh no, I'm going to Tynmouth. The minister there wants me. He went on. Oh no, he said. God is calling you, he said, to accept the task of planting a church and community centre in the Willows. He said the current minister has declined. So, he said, you are to become a member of the Barton Church, for which, he said, he thought, I was called by the Lord to set up a centre and a church. And that by doing that, he said, you will be fulfilling the Lord's purpose for the widows. So, helped by some of the members of Barton Church, we visited every home on the widows. And from those visits, it became apparent that this is what the residents wanted. Especially, they said, a meeting place where we can come together. In the time that followed, we organized activities for children, young people, and senior citizens. It was difficult and costly because we had no premises other than the pub. So the future met a lot of support, yes, but there was also opposition which seemed to operate at that time. So many new doors, however, opened to our surprise, and including members from the Willows asking if they could have not only a place to meet, but can we have a church as well? Jonathan Edwards and many other dignitaries, well-known people, said they wanted me to realize that what we were doing was following a call from the Lord himself. So they said, we will continue accepting any closed doors, but also following many of the doors that open, and we will continue that right through to the end. I could feel very ashamed, really, because I certainly didn't consider it at the beginning as a call from God. But I soon learned the truth. I was not going where I wanted to go. I was not going to Tynemouth Baptist Church, oh no. And why? Because it became more and more obvious that it wasn't just Lord calling me. He had called Jonathan Edwards to get something going. And that call remains today. It was Jonathan Edwards that came to my induction to the Willows. And he still honors God's call. I just wanted to share that with you. So we're not going to give up. We're going to fight onward. There we are. And now, over to Jilly.
So we're going to sing, Come Let Us Sing of a Wonderful Love. And it says, Jesus the Saviour, this gospel to tell, joyfully came with the helpless and hopeless to dwell, sharing their sorrow and shame, seeking the lost, saving, redeeming at measureless cost.
Sing of a wonderful love, tender and true.
So we come to the table. We do not look upon it as the table of the Willows pub. We do not look upon it as our table. We look upon it as the table of Jesus. It was Jesus that said, "Come, take bread and wine in remembrance of me." And so here comes the invitation. Come because Jesus loves us and he died on the cross for us. Come and meet the risen Lord Jesus. Not only did he die, but he rose from the dead and is alive forevermore. Let us come and bring our concerns and problems to him and believe that he will deal with them for us. Let us come like the disciples, ready to do whatever the Lord requires of us. Let us come with thankful hearts. Let us come in humility, and let us go in confidence, because Jesus is Lord. And so, my friends, we come. We take the bread, which is broken and ready for us. We take it in remembrance that Jesus died for us, and that he is there for us. So we take the bread in faith and eat in real remembrance. Could you? Jesus took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood." He said, "Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me." will hold the cup until we've all been served, so that we might drink together. Could you do this for us? Thank you. So Jesus shed his blood for us. Let us drink and be truly thankful. Let us pray. Let us go to our families and friends, to our homes, knowing that our Lord Jesus goes with us. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us always. Amen. Over to Julie, thank you.
So, we've heard a lot this morning about taking out the message, so we're going to sing, Go Forth and Tell, O Church of God Awake, God's saving news to all the nations take.
Thank you.
Torbay, Tynmouth, Totnes, Newton Abbot, not just the nations.
Right, let us stand and gather as we do normally.
Mind the lead. Do you like?
May the
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit
be with us all.